How y'all doing today? Welcome to The Howl, a podcast for Soros Lobos and friends alike in Alpine Campus. We will sit and talk with the who's who of Soros State University about events, departments, and anything on brand. You're invited to join and learn how we're far from ordinary. Hope y'all are doing well today. This is our first episode, and we're really excited to start this off. I know some of you are probably wondering, another podcast? It's 2023. What are we doing? You know, the purpose of this podcast is to really just inform our Lobos here and abroad. We have alumni, we have students, we have faculty, staff, we have people who are sympathetic with Soros as well that want to know what's going on. We're here to tell you what's going on. Part of that is informing our audience about the culture of Soros, being inclusive within that, widespread within our message and why we're essential and why you should consider us. As a higher education institution to attend. And part of that is kind of displaying who are the important people on campus? Who can I talk to when I need a specific thing? Who can I talk to with this specific problem? What departments do I need to talk to for this specific thing? Anything having to do with Soros, we're here to pretty much put it out there. Now, are we gonna hit everything? Unfortunately not. We're only a small production within this, but it'll pretty much egg you on to seek out answers and to be able to talk to people. People here are very friendly, from staff and faculty, people you see around campus. Even if you just send us an email, you'll just get us directly and we can answer any questions that you have. All this to say that we're really excited for our first guest on the show. It's really exciting. She is pretty much a notable figure on campus. She's currently our Dean of Students. During the first couple of weeks of class, we're having our welcome week. A lot of events are going to be happening, and she is right in the middle of it all, spinning all the plates and getting it ready for our new students and our returning students. She also has a very rich history with Soros as a student and as a staff. She left a little bit for education and being in Central Texas. She came back full blazes, doing punches in the air in academic affairs, exactly, and is now, as I said, our Dean of Students. So after the break, we're going to talk with Dr. Suzanne Harris. Since 1917, Soros State University has served thousands upon thousands of students in pursuit for a specialized education. But what makes us so special? Perhaps it's our remote destination setting in the heart of West Texas, which allows for a perfect atmosphere for gaining knowledge and skills in your field of choice. Maybe it's our small class sizes, with a student-to-teacher ratio of 11 to 1 on average, or 70% of our classes with less than 20 students. Maybe it's because we're ranked one of the most affordable public universities in the state of Texas. Probably because we have unmatched individual attention in and out of the classroom. Whatever the case is, with over 40 programs here to choose from, either at the undergraduate level if you're looking to get your bachelor's, or the graduate level if you want to get your master's, you can trust that the time you spend at Soros State University will be far from ordinary. For more information, visit www.soros.edu. You can also visit go.soros.edu in order to receive updates and emails about when to apply. If you'd like to apply to Soros, you're welcome to visit applytexas.org and submit an application to Soros State University Alpine Campus or to Soros State University Rio Grande campuses if you want to attend in Del Rio, Eagle Pass, or Uvalde. Welcome back from the break. That was exciting. Here we have Dr. Suzanne Harris. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
I'm so glad you're here. So we have a lot to talk about, but I want to dig into who Dr. Suzanne Harris is. I call her Dr. Dean. She hates it. But Suzanne, so let's talk about just your early time at Soros. So take us from the beginning, even up till you were accepted, and we'll go from there.
Sure. So I didn't actually start my college career at Soros. I went to UTEP. That was as far away as I could get in the state of Texas because we were poor and didn't have money to go out of state. Mm-hmm. And still, like, that was the furthest location I could get from my hometown, right? That's just what I wanted to do. Did my freshman year at the University of Texas, El Paso. Broke my leg.
Oh, my
towards
gosh.
The end of the spring semester.
What
it was
happened?
Like the top of my tibia, so essentially it's like your knee. Full leg cast from hip to the tips of my toes.
Wow.
So I couldn't work for the summer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I had to go with my mom. Well, when I had gone to college, my mom went to college as well. My mom came here to Sol Ross. So I ended up in Alpine that summer. And she says, why don't you take a class since you're here? So I did. Took one class, Dr. Wayne Sheehan. I still know the alma mater because it was an extra credit in that class. But I fell in love with the campus, with the people. And so I ended up staying. I was a theater major, music minor. So we did a ton of shows over the time that I was here, including, you know, several shows during the year. And then we would do summer theater. We did Romeo and Juliet. Not Romeo and Juliet, which is Shakespeare. He wrote that. But we did Much Ado About Nothing. I'm trying to think of the other ones. Anyway, it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. And I just loved the environment that existed at Sol Ross because I got to do things that when I was at UTEP were only for juniors and seniors, maybe, right? So at Sol Ross, I got that experience, that hands-on experience. Yeah. And when I graduated with my bachelor's degree in 99, I had done everything in the theater department. I mean, everything. I had built sets, tore down sets. I had built costumes, done lighting, sound, directed shows, stage managed shows, acted in many shows. So it was just this all-encompassing experience that I couldn't get anywhere else, which was fantastic. Yeah. So that's kind of the early, I guess, I was the bachelor's degree. And then I graduated. During the time, though, that I was, like, in school, I met this guy, right? His name was Ronnie. And truth be told, when he walked in the room, I thought, I'm going to marry that guy. And then I was like, what? What is that thought? Are you kidding me? And so I didn't talk to him, right, at all. And then, like, years later, we ended up hanging out the last summer that I was in here, my bachelor's degree. Mm-hmm. And then we, you know, eventually started talking, and now he's my husband. We've been married, random, right? We've been married for 23 years this August. Is it 23? No, 22 years. It seems so long. But we've been together for, like, 24 years. And so that's a really special thing to me about Sol Ross as well. I mean, this is where I met that man, right?
Yeah.
He's been beside me. Mm-hmm. Went on to get my master's degree in public administration. Mm-hmm. Started working at the university. And when I started working at the university, I was brought on to work for, like, the end of a Title V grant. And if you don't know, those grants, they run 5 years, and then they're gone. So at one point, somebody came in and said, well, if you want to keep a job, write this Student Support Services grant. And I was like, okay.
Sure.
So yep. I wrote the Student Support Services grant, and I got it.
Yeah, okay.
So that was the first time that we had Student Support Services, the TRIO program here at the university.
And just to interject, sure. If it's cool, how hard is it, like, on a scale of 1 to, like, very hard, is it to write a grant? And, like, could you explain a lot of the interest, like, the, you know, very fine details of
grant
how to
writing?
Get that going up?
So it really depends on the grant you're writing. Let me put that out there. Mm-hmm. For example, I went on to write about $27 million total in grants for the university. Mm. And we can talk about what all we did, but
that's dollars, ladies. That's,
yeah, dollars.
That's a lot of dollars.
Yeah. Anyway, so I wrote grants that were as small as, like, a page and a half, and grants that were as long as 100 pages. So it really depends on the type of grant that you're writing. This Student Support Services grant, if I remember correctly, was somewhere between 50 and 75 pages. I did have kind of a template that I was going off of, which was great because I didn't know what I was doing. And, you know, I learned through the years as I was writing more grants, because I got that one. They're like, hey, let's write some more. I mean, this is kind of the philosophy for my life, too. It's called the KISS rule. If you don't know it, keep it simple, stupid. Uh-huh. Right?
Classic.
Because these grants are read by people just like you and me. Mm-hmm. Right? If I'm reading something, I do not need to see the same thing 500 times. Mm-hmm. Tell me what your plan is. Make it simple for me, and I will fund you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of, it takes time, right? And we got into more complicated grants with Title V grants. Back in those days were really long grants, lots of information you have to gather. But, you know, we wrote a Title V grant. So I started the Student Support Services program, got that all established, started running the program. I did that for, like, I want to say 3 years, and then we got a Title V grant that we had written to kind of change a little bit the advising process that was on campus and start more first and second year programming. And so that was culminated in the creation of the Lobo Den, which is still here today, which I'm super, super excited
about. Both of those programs, very successful programs, still alive, still kicking on campus, and something that students on campus are very familiar with and that grow attached to as the years kind of go by. And that's awesome that you kind of started off those two programs specifically and that they have a longevity to them. So shout out to SSS and Lobo Den.
Amazing people there.
Great people.
And it's, you know, in life, the older you get, because I am getting older, but it's so humbling to look at something that you had in, like, its infancy, right? You really didn't know what you were doing. Like, we're going to create it because we need these services. And then to see it grow and morph over the years is just, it's humbling and fantastic all at the same time.
Absolutely. So, kind of backtracking as well, because, you know, I'm a music guy. I got my music degree here, so I'm all shout out. I'm just a lot of shout outs in this
love
podcast.
Love it.
So with you getting your theater with the music minor and you getting your MPA, feels like the MPA probably prepared you for this grant writing, but how would those foundational, this foundational education for you, how did it kind of prepare you for a lot of these accomplishments to come through, a lot of these, you know, soft and hard skills that you had to develop?
Sure. So, I mean, I'll start with theater and music, right? And as I told you, when I left Saul Ross, right, I could do anything in a theater.
Yeah.
Well, if you can do anything in a theater, you can pretty much do anything anywhere. Mm-hmm. Because that's what theater is. It's creating a culture, society, right? Mm-hmm. And then you put on a show and it runs for however many shows it runs for, and then you tear it all down. And then you start creating a new culture and society. You have to know, you know, what the set pieces are going to look like and why.
Yeah.
You have to know all the props and why these particular props. Costuming, there's a lot of research that goes into all of these things. Lighting, we want a, you know, this color hue to do this. Mm-hmm. So it's a very in-depth look at every aspect. And so two ways I think that probably served me, still does today. A, I don't look at anything and say I can't do that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay. You know, I mean, I've learned a lot of things on the Google, right? Google, right?
Google, I think that's
I can watch a Google video.
Oh, yeah.
And there's no intimidation factor for me in that. Like, show me and I can do it. Except maybe play football. That is a little, I love to watch. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm a huge fan.
Sure.
But I don't ever want to be hit like that. No.
That's not the fun part.
Not at all. And the other thing that it taught me was that I was capable, right? Because by the time you get a theater degree, we had to direct a full-length show. That's our senior project. Mm-hmm. And that is a lot, right? We'd done a one act, and then we had to do a full-length show. It's a lot to put on.
Yeah.
So not only can I be a part of the creation of these things, but I found out I can come up with the ideas myself and tell that to people and help them bring it to reality, right?
Yeah.
But that also involves a lot of compromise, a lot of listening to, you know, this is what I want. How do you think we can get there? Mm-hmm. Because if it was just me, I mean, while I think I'm wonderful, right, I'm not naive enough to think that I know everything mm-hmm. or that I always know the best way. So it taught me to listen. And then my master's degree in public administration sounds kind of random because I completely switched. But what I learned in that was how to kind of expanded out on that. So mm-hmm. I've got these skills now.
Yeah.
How do I expand that into a broader situation? You know, what if I was in charge of a city and this happened? How would I do this? So it just kind of expanded those skills. Mm-hmm. And it's always funny because... And I didn't mention this, but then I went on while I was working here and got my PhD mm-hmm. In education with an emphasis in leadership and higher education, mm-hmm. right? So when people ask me what my degrees are, I'm like, well, I have a bachelor's degree in theater and music, I have a master's degree in public administration, and a doctorate in leadership and higher education. They look at me like, what? Because none of it matches, right? Mm. But it does.
Yeah.
It really does. And that broad-based, you know, information that I've accumulated over the years I mean, this is a great conversation for any interview that I've ever been in my life. why I have the degrees I have. But I believe it gives, has provided me the ability to see things and value people and what they can bring, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's good. So that's the secret then. That's the secret to ruling the world.
Yeah.
Theater with a music minor, MPA, and an EDD. No, that's great. And that versatility gives you that perspective of being in any environment, having the willingness to learn in that environment, and then being able to say, okay, what's a need within this place? Okay, let's build it up. And to be able to have that collaborative effort. That's absolutely wonderful. That's fantastic and noteworthy for our listeners. If you're looking into being in a leadership role within any field that you want to get into, is to have that willingness to learn and have that openness and to, you know, get those, again, soft and hard skills to be able to manage it. And so that's awesome. That's wonderful. Really cool. So you've created these two grants. They're very successful. Building each year. So what happens after that?
After I created the grants? Mm-hmm. Well, I left.
She's gone.
She
hit the road.
My husband and I, we had two children, and then we decided to adopt. We were thinking two. It ended up being four. I say, God laughs when I make plans. That's what I say. Mm-hmm. So best thing we ever did, by far, best thing we ever did. But we needed some things that we couldn't quite get in Alpine at that point in our lives. And so we moved across the state to Rockwall, Texas. And I stepped out of education for about 3 years. I worked in the corporate office of a senior care living organization. And so I did special projects, I wrote grants, but did whatever was, you know, a lot of fundraising actually at that time. My husband had just finished his counseling program, so he started counseling, because you have to do like 3,000 hours of supervised counseling in order to be an LPC after you graduate, just so if anybody, don't skip on that step.
Yeah.
But you know, he got a job in Dallas where he was able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so about 3 years of that, and I was ready to get back into education. But my question had been, when I left the university, what has changed? Because the students that we were getting were so, so different than my experience. And I was a young professional at that time.
Right.
And so it wasn't that I couldn't connect. I just wanted to know more. So I was like, you know what? Let me go into K-12 and see what's going on.
Yeah.
And so I got my teaching certification, and I taught special ed and ran special ed programs for like eight years. Mm-hmm. And both in an elementary setting and in a middle school and high school setting. So I really got the gamut of pre-K through 12th grade. And how that looked. The great thing about special education, number one, special education rocks. Mm. My favorite thing, maybe ever, it was working with those students.
Mm-hmm.
But two, you are out and involved in so much of the school. Because you go into classes with people, right? So I got to see a lot in that role. And I learned some things, like the differences of how school was when I went and how it is now. It's very different.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just gave me a better understanding. So when I got the call and was like, hey, would you consider coming back out here? I was ready.
Yeah.
I was ready because, and I will tell anybody who asks, I came here for one reason. One reason only. It's not the city of Alpine, though I do love it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even Saul Ross, though I do love it. It is the student body at Saul Ross.
Mm-hmm.
This student body is made up of the most amazing people that I have found anywhere, and I've been around,
yeah.
Right? I will do anything I can within my power, and maybe sometimes try and do things that are not in my power, right? To help someone who is striving to achieve anything I can. I don't help so much if it's somebody who has the world handed to them and they're just being lazy. That's not impressive to me. But it's someone who's striving, man, I will bend over backwards to see how I can help them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of my route. We ended up moving from Rockwall. We're there for 10 years. Then we moved to Burney, Texas. We technically lived there for about 2 years. I was there for about 6 months before I started working back here at Sol Ross. So I commuted from here to Burney, 4.5 hours any way you drive.
Yeah.
Weekly for a year and a half. And then we had a conversation, and my husband, I was like, hey, either something's got to give, right? Because we still have a 16-year-old that's, he's a junior at Alpine High School now.
Yeah.
And he decided to apply for a job out here, and that's how we ended up here just this last Christmas, New Year's season.
That's amazing. So a homecoming for yourself and Ronnie as well.
For sure, for
that's
sure.
Awesome. Good stuff. Right on. And so you've come back, you're here, you're ready to serve our student body. You started off in academic affairs, now moving within your current position. You have a passion for our student body. This upcoming year, what do you see to pretty much like accomplish those little steps into kind of the same way that you built up these grants previously? What prospects do you have to kind of improve our services for our student body, and what do you anticipate this upcoming year?
Sure. So let me back up just one skosh, and then I'll get into that.
Totally.
But I should say this: I had, when I was here previously, I worked in student affairs. And I guess some academic affairs a little bit with advising, because we did all the TSI advising and undergraduate TSI and first year advising at that time. So when I came back and I was given the opportunity to go to the provost office as the director of academic affairs, I took it, and I learned so much that I didn't know.
Uh-huh.
Right. Which, because I've worked with almost every aspect of the university, but I had never worked with faculty in that capacity, and it was a fascinating, very rewarding experience. So people are like, why did you leave that, right? And faculty are like, what, students? Uh-huh. So here's the thing. When I was 18 years old, I was upstairs in this building we're currently in.
Uh-huh.
It was the dean's office. That's dean of students. His name was Dean Ganaway, right?
That's a good name.
I looked at Dean Ganaway. I was 18 years old and said, I want your job. I'm going to have this job someday. So when the position came available, I was like, that's it. So this is actually my dream job, which is crazy,
so
right?
Cool. Yeah.
So then I started in January as the interim, and then in March, I think, is when it was made official. But I'm super, super excited to be in this role.
Yeah.
Because my job, if you want to boil it down to something, is students.
Mm-hmm.
And as I told you, I came back for one reason, which is the student body.
Yeah.
So we've done a lot in student life over the last year, I will say. Ben Teleska is our VP of Student Affairs. He's fantastic. Ben and I actually worked together when we were here before. He left before me a couple years, and he came back a week before me. So it's fun to have that kind of reunification. But we've done a lot to kind of make sure that we are hitting on all the right cylinders. Student support is a huge thing. And it's even, I see it's increasing a lot. There are specific things. For example, mental health, right? Mental health, COVID did a number on our society as a whole. I'm not blaming everything on COVID. That's not what I'm saying. But the you know, kind of separation of our society during COVID, and now we're trying to put it all back together.
Right.
When you're in growing up through that, it does a number on you.
Oh, yeah.
So you compound that with all of the things that we've always faced with going to college, you know, leaving your home, trying to make it on your own. You know, if you don't get up at 8 o'clock and go to class, it's on you, nobody else. Our mental health services are definitely increasing the need. And so we've done a lot to kind of right size that department. And, you know, we've got timely care, which is like a virtual counseling that you can get as a student. So there's that. We've got a new medical care, right? Ops Med. So students will be eligible for that as well. And if I can say anything, students, pre-register for these things. It's free. Get your information in, because then when you need it, you don't have to go through the registration process.
Right.
You can find that information on our website or at the offices. And then we've got student support services is working with us now, which is great, because we know they retain at a rate incredibly higher than the rest of the university, incredibly higher.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we emulate some of what they are doing for the rest of the student body?
Right.
We've also been very purposeful in connecting with our athletes. Many people may not know, but our athletes are like 35% of our student body.
Very sizable amount, yeah.
It's a lot, right? It's a lot.
A lot of them.
And I happen to be a huge fan of all things sports, right? So, I raised six kids and we played all these things that y'all play, right? So if my kid did it, I learned everything. But intentionally reaching out and saying, hey, we're here to support you. You know, I'll be at all the games that I can be at. Because what I've learned through the years, and this stands true for when I was here before, when I was working in K-12 education, and now being back, students will stay where they feel they belong. And if they don't feel that they belong, they will keep looking until they find the place where they belong. We do that as grown-ups, right? Not that you're not grown-up students, but I don't know how else to denote that. We're going to look for that place where we belong, where we feel comfortable. And if you don't, something's nagging at you to try something else. Well, if you don't have a connection to someone, you'll never have that feeling of belonging. So it's up to us as staff and faculty to reach out and build those connections with students. So very purposeful. You know, we've got Rec Sports that reports to us. We've grown the offerings there. They're doing more intramurals. She's been doing some small trips. They've got classes going on, all kinds of exciting things with Rec Sports. We've got Katie Williams over. I can never remember her title, Katie Williams. She does everything.
Yeah.
She runs the Lobo Pantry. When she took over and what now exists are completely different things. It's amazing. But that's not all of what she does. She's also like the civic engagement person. So she's connected with our community here in Alpine, finding ways that the university can reach out in the community and make those connections. And she's also a kind of like the liaison for students. So if a student has a grievance or a question, they can start with Katie and she will help them along the way. This is what you need to do. This is the information that's needed. These are the forms that need to be filled out. So really great resource over there in Ferguson Hall. And that's like counseling, you know, Katie's office, the Lobo Den, and Student Support Services, that first floor of Ferguson.
Go to Ferguson Hall.
Absolutely. And then you have UPD, right? Our University Police Department. And we are excited that we're welcoming a new chief on Monday. And can't wait to get that department rolling and doing all the things that they do. And that's just it. Like, we want our students to feel like they belong here at the university, here in town. You know, I tell students all the time, it's not that you're going to come here and live the rest of your life. Some of you may, get me, right? But it's a great place to come, step away from the craziness of the big city, right? Get a degree that will fundamentally change your life, and then springboard from there. And that's what we're trying to do with the students this year. We've got great events coming up.
Yes, we do. Absolutely. And we'll get to those events after a short break. Are you ever on campus looking for a quick snack? Maybe you're wearing your hometown university shirt and you think to yourself, I need myself a Barista Bar shirt. Maybe you ran out of space for notes in your folder and you need more paper. And a pen at that. Maybe you don't have anything and you just came to school with nothing and you need a backpack and a notebook and a pen and earbuds and a laptop. Well, if you need any of those things and more, you can go ahead and visit our Soros State University campus store. That's where you need to be. Branded tees, socks, jackets, coats, hats, caps, beanies, sunglasses, and more. Even electronic devices and accessories, school supplies, specialized supplies for your science labs and your art studios as well. Salty and sweet snacks, refreshments, grab-and-go munchies, slushies, and maybe, if you're a classic guy like me, a quick cup of coffee. And of course, our highly popular stuffed Sully the Lobo. Aww. It's the perfect addition to your Lobo Village residence hall room to be able to cuddle with at night. For all this and for a lot more, you're welcome to visit the University Center to see what new items we have in stock, or you can follow them on Facebook at Soros Bookstore. And Instagram at Soros115, again, that's Soros115, for updates on discounts and deals.
And we're back.
with Suzanne.
Yes.
Dr. Harris. I do that.
So after everybody goes to their first day of classes, we'll kick off what's called, well, even during that, we'll kick off what's called Welcome Week. Mm-hmm. And that is for all students. So we've got events planned the whole week. We've got, there will be some, what does she call them? Donuts and Directions stations.
I love that.
Around the mall area. Mm-hmm. So if you're lost and you don't know where your class is, and it happens, even if you've been here, you can be like, where is this class?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Right? Stop by one of the Donuts and Directions booths. Mm-hmm. Get a donut and some directions. And even if you don't need directions, you could probably stop by and grab a donut.
I'll just smile
and say, have a great day.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. But there's some key events that I want to definitely point out, right? That Monday, mm-hmm. the kickoff of Welcome Week is going to be at Rec Sports. There's a big program with the Rec Sports Center. Mm-hmm. So head over to the Graves Pierce that evening at 7 and enjoy your time. Mm-hmm. There's the other big thing. There's stuff every day, right? On Wednesday, we're going to have Meet the Lobos, mm-hmm. which will be out at Jackson Field. We'll be introducing all of the fall teams.
That's right.
And enjoying some watermelon.
Oh. Gotta
it's
get
good
that water
stuff. It's good stuff.
Come on.
And hanging out for a little bit out there. That's the next week. We have on Tuesday, September 5th, is going to be a huge event, a great opportunity for all our students to get some volunteering in, mm-hmm. right? It's called Feed the Funnel.
That's right.
It's really a big event. We're going to package 50,000 meals, mm-hmm. That will be distributed in our communities in around the Big Bend area and Permian Basin. Those of you who don't know, we do live in a food desert, and so it's their shelf stable meals. So I'm really, really excited about that. That'll be at the Gallego Center on Tuesday the 5th.
Absolutely.
Followed Wednesday the 6th by Fall on the Mall.
Yeah, there you go.
That's fall, good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Nico knows because
I know
he's been here.
I was a student as well, and that was always a good time to get connected with your student organizations and clubs, and kind of check out everything that's going on that year. And yeah, it's a great social event.
Yeah.
For all students, it's fantastic.
So we're expanding it too this year in that it will be a career fair as mm-hmm. well for current students jobs that are available on campus, right? Those will be posted. There will be people there like, hey, I need a work study or I need this. Even some businesses around town will be there as well for opportunities that our current students can get while they're going to school. So I'm excited about that kind of expansion piece a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's been done on and off over the years, but we want our students to have every opportunity that they need at the beginning of the year.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Let's see what else we got. On Friday, September 8th, we have an event that is called the Big Howl.
The Big Howl.
Oh!
I love it.
Yeah, it is. Anyway, the Big Howl. I don't know. I'm not going to lie. I don't know all the details, but I know some of the details. But we're going to have some artists mm-hmm. out on the mall providing some music. I think there'll be some free food kind of thing. And at the 12 to 12:30, we're going to have a pep rally out there because Saturday, mm-hmm. immediately following the Friday that this is, Saturday is our first football game, home football game. And so we want to get as many supporters out there as we can because these fellas have been working.
Yeah.
They are ready to hit the field running for sure. Mm-hmm. And it's followed up with events the following week too, but that's the big hitters, I think, mm-hmm.
for
a Welcome
Week.
Gate.
That's that first week. You do not want to miss it. Again, hit all of those events. And if they have any questions, where can they find you?
You can call my office, 8255. You can stop by my office, UC 211. There's one office suite on the second floor of the UC. That's where I am. Mm-hmm. Stop by the office, and we'll give you any information you want. You can stop by campus activities downstairs in the UC. You can email me. sharris@sallross.edu. Reach out. I am always happy to give information.
Perfect. Well, good stuff. Well, we have a lot coming up this semester and a lot of things coming up this first week, and we're just really excited. We hope to see you back on the show soon. We're hoping to have a homecoming episode as well. So
yes.
Homecoming coming up. And do you know the date on that one?
You know, it's the first football game in November.
There you go.
I don't remember if it's the first, second, or third, but whatever that first football game, I should know. But I know because it's right after Halloween. That's why I know, like, Halloween happens that week, and then the football game is the weekend. Mm-hmm. Which is great because it won't be super hot, hopefully.
Right.
I mean, weather has been a little nutty, but should be like maybe a cooler game, which is always fun.
There you go.
And homecoming is, the whole week is filled with activities for sure. So absolutely. Definitely.
That one needs its own episode.
Agreed.
Completely.
Agreed.
So look out for that one. We'll have Dr. Suzanne Harris back on the show. But thank you so much for coming in today and for giving all this great information and an inside look into your life. And we just hope that students can take that and run with it. And we hope you're, you know, the who's who famous did you see her on that podcast person on campus. So there you go.
Can I say one thing?
You can say seven things. It's all good.
Best piece of advice I can give any student.
Yeah.
Alpine Sol Ross is what you make of it. There are plenty of activities. Go see the games. Go see the shows. Go see the rodeos. And go on field trips. Take advantage of all the opportunities in the local area that you will never have anywhere else, right? It's up to you what you make of it. So we will provide everything that we can to help you, but take advantage of what's being put out there. That's my advice.
There you go. Take it. Take it, y'all. Run with it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Nico.
Really appreciate it. All right, y'all. Y'all have a great start of the semester. Thank you, and go Lobos.
Oh! Oh!
There you go. Thank you.